I really appreciate coming to sharing with you today. I want to ask you a question. And I need you to be honest. And normally when I say that, people normally look at me and say, what do I supposed to be but honest? You'll be surprised. But I really need you to be honest. My question is not a difficult question. But here it is. If you were living in the days of Noah, would you have drowned? I don't want you to use hindsight. You know, hindsight is 20/20. I don't want you to sit out there and say, well, I feel like now that I know what I know, maybe I wouldn't. I don't want you to look at the availability of seats and the number of people who actually got on the boat. Can you be honest with yourself today and answer the question, if you were living in the days of Noah, would you have drowned? And by the way, if you can't, for some reason, be honest with yourself, Jesus said, that if you would have drowned in the days of Noah, it's a pretty good chance you would be lost when he comes. Let us pray. Father in heaven, today, we know that if you can just get us to think, if you can just get us to listen to what you say and think, oh, what a peculiar people we would be. And you've already started doing it from Sabbath school on up. Now we pray that you will continue the process. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not judging. I'm not accusing you of anything. Listen to what Jesus said. If you would have drowned in the days of Noah, there's a 99.9% chance that if Jesus came today, you would be lost. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 37, he said, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And what did he say? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said it's going to be just like that. But the interesting thing about this text is, to me, it's very interesting that Jesus said that when Noah entered the ark, something shut. We all know who are Bible students that the antediluvians were not lost when it started raining. They were lost when Noah entered the ark and God shut the door. And Jesus said, when I come, it's going to be just like that. Before I burst through the cloud, there are going to be days before I come that it's going to be impossible to be saved. But yet, when I'm mingling with us and I'm talking with us, I hear all of these things. Well, I'm going to, as soon as I get myself together, then I'm going to do right. But Jesus said, Just like it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be when I come. Jesus said the very same reasons why the people were lost in Noah's day are going to be the very same reasons they are lost when I come. I was walking the other day and I was talking to a Seventh-day Adventist, and I asked him that same question. I said, and I had to rephrase it. I said, please be honest. Don't dress it up. Don't assume. Tell me what you would do. And he said, I'm probably 100% sure if I was living in the days of Noah, I would have drowned. And I wanted to know why. Well, he began to share with me his reasons. He says, because of this, he said, because of the vitality of the way I am, and here I am living hundreds and hundreds of years, and the vitality that Adam and Eve had, and the people in that day from Adam and Eve just eating of the fruit. He said, I could not have been able to withstand the temptation because, you know what? He said, I don't like restrictions. How many of you like restrictions? Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't go to yonder. Can't eat this. Can't drink that. Can't look at this. Don't have so-and-so for your friend. Restrictions. And Jesus said it. He said it. Listen. He said, when I come back, people are going to be lost for the exact same reasons. And so when I did the math, I just simply asked myself, well, okay, why were the people lost? What specific reasons does the Bible give for why they were lost? And ladies and gentlemen, as we go through our little discussion, please keep the question in your mind. I want to know, is that you? Am I talking about me? Because today's message is entitled, Who? Me? Yeah. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to look at six things for what got the people in Noah's day. Now, I'm going to try to expedite time. So I'll give you the scriptures, and you can go back and look them up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, the number one reason. The first reason that we want to talk about today, why they were lost, Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible said that it had never rained before. Nobody, can you imagine that? Nobody on the planet. You got millions and millions of people living all over the world, and the Bible says nobody in their day had ever seen any rain. And so Jesus said, when I come, people are going to be lost because they cannot believe something if they have not never seen it. What do we say today? And everybody seems to have this same mindset that seeing is what? Is believing. And that's totally against scripture. What does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 11? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we must get in our mind and understand just because when the Bible says something, just because you never seen it, that don't mean it can't happen. Just because you never seen it, that don't mean it ain't true. And so the people in Noah, they had this little problem. They had to see something in order to believe it. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about so many, I'm not going to even try to go through the list. The Bible talks about so many things that's going to happen to us in the last days that we ain't never seen before. The Bible in the last days says that in the time that we're living in, and Jesus said we're talking about a specific time right before he comes. He said, when I come, people are going to be lost for the very same reason the people in the Noah's day were lost. And one of the reasons, he said, is because they can't believe something if they've never seen it before. Look at Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about the beast, the two-horned beast, how it's going to give its seat and power and authority to the other beast, and how the whole world is going to wonder after the beast. You know, it was so amazing when I was sitting down looking at 6 o'clock news, World News Tonight, and they came on and President Donald Trump said, we're going to shut everything down. And did you notice what happened? The whole world, what? Ask me, you would ask me last year. Do I believe that? That would have been hard. But the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, our foes are going to be there of our own household. The people you love right now, the people you afraid to witness to, the people you don't want to offend right now, the one that is sleeping with you in your own house that you say you love and they say they love you. The Bible says that we get to the right before Jesus comes, they're going to hate you. Oh, I don't believe that. When the Bible is talking about in Revelation chapter 13, we're talking about enforcing of the mark of the beast. You know, let me tell you something. There are about 10 or 15 things, if I ever get a chance to come on here and talk about it, there are 10 or 15 things that I love about the COVID-19 pandemic. That COVID-19 pandemic brought so many things out in biblical prophecy, it just blew my mind. So many things came, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, it could not buy or sell. I never had that experience. Couldn't buy or sell. Couldn't go no way. Couldn't do nothing. You had to stay home. I mean, COVID-19 just illustrated so much of Bible prophecy to me, ladies and gentlemen. If I could just go through those things one by one by one by one. Things that I've never seen before. And so the Bible talks about a lot of strange things that are going to happen in the last days, ladies and gentlemen. But let me tell you something. You got to take the Bible and you got to believe the Bible for what it says. Whether you've ever seen it or not, whether you think it's possible or not, it has nothing to do with what God says. Every time God says something, it has always proven to be true. And you have to be very careful with these things that you've never seen before. Sometimes those things can help you, or they can hurt you. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, Eve never saw a talking snake. She never saw a talking snake. But guess what? Because that something she'd never seen before, she believed that over what God said. And guess what? Here we are in the mess that we are in today. So you have to be very careful about what you believe, about who you believe. I love John 17, 17. I got shirts with John 17, 17 written on it. Sanctified through the truth, the word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, today, Jesus said, when I come, there's going to be people in the world who are lost because they don't believe something unless they've seen it first. And so I ask you, is that you? Is that you? Number two, Jesus said in Matthew that they would be eating and drinking. Oh boy. Jesus said they would be eating and drinking. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis chapter 9 is the first time God gave mankind permission to eat flesh. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 102 and 101, the Bible, the servant of the Lord says there that the antediluvians had long been slaughtering animals, using their flesh for food. In the little book, Last Day, Vince, page 91 and 92, the servant of the Lord says that in the last days, right before Jesus comes, flesh food will cease to be a part of God's people. Now, number two is, ladies and gentlemen, reason people were lost in Noah's day is from the same simple reason is a problem that many of us have. We refuse to change our eating habits. I have almost got in Let me say almost. I've been almost attacked in church for talking about health reform. And ladies and gentlemen, it bothers me and boggles my mind. If something is bad for me, if something is killing me, why do I want to eat it? Why do I want to drink it? Are you in here, you were mad because of the health reform? Let me tell you something. The health reform and the health message is one of the things that made me fall in love with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. From where I come from, I never heard this kind of stuff. People talking about Jesus and salvation. Then they talking about taking care of your body and how the Bible talks about it in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, how God gives restrictions on animals and birds, ones that you can eat. I mean, this thing just blew my mind. They took me back to Genesis chapter 1, where God gave the diet fruits, grains, and that good stuff. I didn't even have to eat collard greens until after Adam and Eve sinned. Are you the kind of person that don't want to change your eating habits? If they got on the boat, them chickens on that was not going to be turned into McNuggets. There's not. And then after the flood was over with, they were thinking, what we going to eat? Are you the kind of person who refuse to give up bad eating habits? And you know what Patriarchs and Prophets says, page 101 and 102. Eating affects you spiritually, mentally, and physically. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, when I come, the very same reason people were being lost in Noah's day are the same very reason. Not only were the people in Noah's day eating unclean foods, they were overdoing the good food, and they refused to give up anything. And so many times, ladies and gentlemen, I have issues. And I just don't get it. But Jesus said one of the problems they had in his day, in Noah's day, they refused to change their diet. And the servant of the Lord says in last day events, oh boy, she says in last day events that not only when Jesus, right before he come, flesh and all these things are not good for us, are going to be taken out of our diet. She also says you won't be eating every day, nor will you be eating 3 meals a day. In fact, she says, you're only going to get enough food to keep you alive. And you know what that is? You know, it's amazing to me when people, you talk to people about Bible stuff and how, you know, a lot of people don't believe in the spirit of prophecy and the counsels from Ellen G. White, you know, and they think, and every time she says something that I don't think is correct, I go find it in the Bible. And she says, meat and all this kind of stuff are not going to be a part of our diet. Well, you know what? When I went to my Bible, Isaiah says, chapter 66, I think verse 17, it talks about in the last days how people are going to be eating rats and mice. But the Bible also says, Isaiah 33:26, says that right before Jesus comes, our diet is going to consist of bread and water. Sound like this lady with a third grade education knew what she was talking about anyway. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says when he comes, people are going to be consuming all of these things, and some of my people don't want to give up. And ladies and gentlemen, this one really shocked me. It's when I was reading in Last Day Events and other places, the servant of the Lord says, and she specifically mentioned, she said, some Seventh-day Adventists are going to sell their souls for food. Sell my soul for food. Are you kidding me? Who? Me? You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't sell your soul for food, would you? Who? Me? Huh? The question is, if you were living in the days of Noah, would you have drowned? Jesus said, if you were living in the days of Noah and you were drowned, it's a 99% chance you will be lost when I come. Number three, let me move on. Number three. I don't know how long y'all have church right here. Number three, Jesus said they were married and given in marriage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The only thing I want to say about married and given in marriage, the Bible talks about the multiplicity of marriage, given in marriage, people getting married. You know, today they say 50% when 100 people get married, 50% get a divorce. They say it's a little bit better in the church. You put about 35-40% of the people who are actually in church who get married, only about 35-40% of them get a divorce. Marrying and giving in marriage. Now, let me tell you something about this issue about marriage. And we know what we got in our country today. Men marrying men and women marrying women and all of this kind of stuff. All of this stuff is what Jesus was talking about. Why? Because Solomon said what? In Ecclesiastes 5, he said there is what? Nothing. Nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing new under the sun. Okay? But when we get into marriage, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen and talked with many of us who got two or three husbands and wives, and they don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 that that wasn't the way it was from the beginning. He said, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But the issue that really gets me is with some other folk, you know, I see what the Bible says, and I know what the Bible says, and I'm pretty sure I know what the Bible says. And these people are confused because the people who got two or three wives or two or three husbands seem to be happy. You ever heard of a happy Sam? You can be happy living in sin. You can be happy doing all kinds of wrong things. I can reflect back into my mind to a time when I was a happy sinner. So happiness had nothing to do with it, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, somebody wrote to the spirit of prophecy and asked her, if somebody divorced somebody for the wrong reason, which is church members, and married somebody else, can they be saved? You know what she said? She said, I can't answer that. All I can tell you to do is pray. I can't answer that. But no respect. We don't want no restrictions. I'm having a Bible study right now, a couple who have a real rocky marriage. And we just finished an Amazing Facts lesson on how to have a happy home. And you're reading there about all these things, how you got to love your mate and treat them with kindness, no matter how they treat you and how they do you. And I'm telling you, it's challenging to the person. You mean I got to stay here and love this person? You mean I can't just go get me somebody else? You see, this is the same issue they were dealing with in Noah's day. You see, there's a lot of things about marriage. It's not getting to marriage, but all these things you got to do in marriage. And so Jesus said, when he comes back, he said, people going to be lost for the same reason as we are dealing with marriage today. Same issue. And ladies and gentlemen, and these things are no longer foreign. These things are no longer out there in the world. These things are right here. And so Jesus said, when I come back, there's going to be a problem with marriage and wives and the reasons why you're supposed to love and stay with the person. Number four, Genesis 6:5, the Bible says that the people in Noah, they continue to sin. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to say about that is Jesus said when he allowed the flood to come in Noah's day, it said there were people living in Noah's day who did not want life on this planet to end. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know no other world. All I know is this life.
I like playing golf. I like going to the track, to the gym. I enjoy my job.
But Jesus said, when I come, it's going to be people on this planet who don't want me to come because they want to continue in their life that they have right now. Is that you? Is that you? Do you really want Jesus to come right now?
Couples I talked to just got married. No, we want to have some kids. We want some grandbabies. I'm talking to young people. No, I ain't graduated yet. I want me a job. I want me a sports car. I want me a house. I want to travel. Do you want this life to continue like it is? Jesus said, guess what? People in Noah's day, they were lost for that reason. Is that you? Who? Oh, me?
And I got to tell you, I enjoy my life. My little grandbabies make me laugh every time I see one of them.
You know what would happen to them? What might happen to them if Jesus came? I've been working all my life. I just now started to get my Social Security check, Kenny. I got a whole lot of money in there I want to get out before Jesus comes. I don't know whether y'all remember when George Bush was in there, the young George Bush, he said, I want to just give everybody all the money they got in the Social Security program, and that way we ain't got to worry about it. I was like, you got my vote, brother. Give me mine right now. But think about it. You know, we come to church and we sing about, oh, how I love Jesus. Are you being honest with yourself? Do you really want Jesus to come? I don't think so.
The people in Noah's day, they wanted life to keep going on just like it was, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm asking you today, if that's your problem, then Jesus was right about you and me. If he came today, we would be drowned. We don't want him to come. Number five, let me get on, let me finish up. Number five.
The people had a problem in Noah's day. Noah 6, Genesis,
oh boy, Genesis 6, verse 9 and verse 13. The Bible says Noah was the only person, ladies and gentlemen, Noah was the only person preaching that the world was going to end. In every, just about in every Bible study I get, we're talking to people. You know what they want to know from me?
How come Seventh-day Adventist is the only one talking about the mark of the beast? How come the Seventh-day Adventist is the only one you hear talking about the sanctuary? Talking about the Pope? Talking about Sunday Blue Law? Why are y'all the only one talking about that kind of stuff? Is that you? Are you looking out, or do you stand and look out the church window on Sabbath and say, why am I here? Why Oral Roberts and Billy Graham didn't talk about this? How come T.D. Jakes ain't preaching it? How come Rick Warren ain't write a book about keeping the Sabbath? Great man of God, got thousands and thousands of members in his church. Noah was the only one. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have problems with that.
Ain't nobody else talking about you can't eat pork, can't eat shrimp. Nobody else talking about that.
I think we have a problem with that.
We the only one. Sound like Elijah down there. God, I'm the only one down here serving you. But God said, boy, shut up. I got 7,000 old people down there doing what you're doing. Hush. Ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say? It says, don't follow a crowd to do evil. We got a problem with it. My favorite uncle, Baptist preacher, called him when I started studying the Adventist message and said, Uncle, I need to talk to you. Studying my Bible, man, and you know, I need to know some stuff. Went over there and took my Bible, me and him sat down and we talked. We laid out the word, and I laid out the word, he laid out the word. We talked about the Sabbath and all this kind of stuff. And he went and got one of some of his books, his theological books off the library and brought them out in our study and laid them out before me. And his theological book was saying the same thing I was saying about the Sabbath and some other stuff. And at the end of our discussion, you know what he said? Well, I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time. It's too late for me to change now. I can't change now. Why am I the only Seventh-day Adventist in my family? The rest of them seem like they go to church, seem like they love Jesus. Jesus said, when I come, there are going to be thousands of people lost because nobody else, they couldn't see nobody else doing it but them.
The only one. Lord have mercy.
And they called Noah a fanatic. The servant of the Lord in last day event said that they're going to call us fanatics. And some of us can't take that. You know, we like Peter. You know, you give me a sword, you want to have a fight, yeah, that's one thing. But you let me stand around the fire with you and you point your finger at me and say, yeah, he one of them disciples, I just go crazy. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, when I come back, the very same reasons that the people in Noah, they were lost, are going to be the very same reason the people are lost when I come. And my question to you is, if you were living in Noah's day, would you have drowned? The last one, and probably the only one that really does, that really matters, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 13. The Bible says the people were wicked. In other words, they were unconverted. They were not born again. Romans chapter 8 says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are none of God's. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the thing is about being born again, being changed. You know, when I give Bible studies, I be so excited to tell a person. You know, the person have problem with alcohol, they have problem with sex, they have problem with drugs, they have problem with cussing, they have problem with everything. Problem with pornography, promise with everything you want to name. They got problems with that. But then I take the Bible and I show them, I say, listen, God said, they look at me crazy. I say, that's all right. I don't care what your problem is. Here is the solution. Jesus said in John 3, all you got to do is let him make you born again. I take him over there to Isaiah 36, where the word says, our God says, I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and I'll wash you from your idols and your filthiness. And he said, I'll take out your stony heart, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'm sitting there all excited and say, listen, you don't have to have that problem. But then they look at me like, but I don't want to change. I don't want to change. You ever been like that? You don't want to change? I've been like that.
I didn't want to change.
They were unconverted, and they didn't want to change. Let me tell you something here, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember nothing else I said, your problem is not what's going to keep you out of heaven. Your problem is you won't let God change you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to change?
I don't care what your problem is.
Jesus said, the Bible says, he forgives, cleanses you from all manner of sin and evil. I don't care what your problem is. You know, I was surprised some people come at me and they want to tell me what they're doing and think I'm going to be shocked. That ain't nothing for God. Nothing for God. But if you were living in the days of Noah, the only question you need to answer today, would you have drowned? And Jesus said, if you would have drowned in Noah's day, there's a 99.9% chance you would drown when I come. I don't want to drown. Can we pray? Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we could ask for show of hands. We could do a whole lot of things. But how often we have said something in church and went outside and done the very opposite. And Lord, and we know the Bible says something about you that we can't say about ourselves or anybody else. And the Bible says that God cannot lie. And Father, today I may not have all six issues that we talked about, and there are more. All I need is one to be lost. All I need is one. All I need is to mess up on one. And so today, in our prayer of consecration, we pray, Father, today. I don't know the lifestyle. I don't know the character. I don't know the makeup. I don't know where nobody in here comes from. I don't know what their background is. But I know you do. And I know you got a way of ordering people's lives. You got a way of putting people in people's places. You got a way of putting situations in people's lives that can bring about a change. I don't care how young they are or how old they are. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work with each one of us today. Lord, I know no matter what we have to go through, the song was sung about temptations and God being able to handle it all. I know, God, I know today that no matter what you have to take all of us through or any of us through, no matter what you have to do to save us, once we get there, we will thank you. We will praise you forever. Just help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. And you not only see us in our sins, but you see us what we can become. Oh, Jesus said, I stand at the door. You got to let me in. You got to let me in. And so today, Father, we pray that everybody today will let you in. Lord, they may never see me again. I may never see them again. But we will leave it in your hands. In your providence, we pray today that you will do it for everybody here. God, we don't care what you have to take them through. Fire, you have to take them through the flood. You have to strip them of everything they got. You have to do like you do Job. You have to take our wealth and take our health. Whatever it is, God, we will thank you when we get into glory. We will thank you. But God, let it not be too late for us. Today we pray. And we thank you for hearing us. And we're going to believe you're going to do it because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.